And the early morning weather report said instead of 2 to 4 inches, we're supposed to get 5 to 6 tonight. So don't take your long underwear off, Minnie. Okay. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We pray that you might send your Spirit today as we gather around your holy table. We pray you'd send your Spirit that we can join your Son on his Lenten journey. So be with us these days and allow us to draw close to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the choir to lead off.
I'll dare to see. 335. Please rise. Let's sing hymn number 335.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us confess together. God of life, we have heard your command to go and make disciples, but we have been reluctant to step out in faith. We confess we are people who don't like to get our hands dirty. We have heard you saying to us, be full of love for others, but we even find it difficult to love ourselves. We are people who don't like to get involved. Today we confess we do not deserve your love, yet we ask for forgiveness, confident you'll forgive our sin. Our God is a God of life and offers the free gift of forgiveness to all people. Jesus Christ, God's Son, lived among us, died on a cross for us, and rose from death so that we might know life in its fullness. God knows us and loves us with an everlasting love. God's love changes every hidden corner of our life and allows us to step out in faith, to get involved, and to get our hands dirty. Praise God for forgiveness and new life. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters our desert. Open the hearts to be transformed by the new thing that you are doing, that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love given to all through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading today is from the book of Philippians. Writing to Christians in Philippi, Paul admits that his heritage and reputation could give him more reason than most people to place confidence in his spiritual pedigree. But the overwhelming grace of God in Jesus calls Paul to a new set of values. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. We'll read Psalm 126 responsively. The congregation will respond in bold print. Where you see the bold R, we'll all say the refrain, those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations,
the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of Lebanon.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping and carrying seed will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning comes from the 12th chapter of St. John. Judas willfully misinterprets as waste Mary's extravagant act of anointing Jesus' feet with costly perfume. Jesus recognizes that her lavish gift is both an expression of love and anticipation of his burial. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Let's sing the first and last verse of 351. Songs for Lent are dreary, dreary things. Today I want you to look closely at the first lesson that Lori read. Paul writes in Philippians. He starts out by saying he's probably the best Jewish person that ever lived. I mean, he starts out, "If anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more." And he's boasting, he's such a good Jew. I have more, circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. So he's done everything right. Eighth day, that's when Jewish baby boys are circumcised. Member of the people of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, which was a tribe that was highly respected, keepers of the law. Hebrew, born of Hebrews. If anyone has reason to boast, it's me. I'm the best Hebrew there is. And he's talking to Jewish people, okay? So he says, there's no one here who's got anything on me. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. I'm a keeper of the law. I'm a Pharisee. That means that by the time Paul was 12, he had memorized the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. By the time he was 18 or 19, he had memorized the whole New Testament. And then they take the best of the best of the best, and that's who Paul was. I know it all. I teach. I'm an upstanding Pharisee. I know what's going on. A Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. Israel didn't want false or different religions in their country. So Paul was a persecutor of Christians. If they found out you were worshiping Jesus, they would hunt you down like a dog and do you in, crucify you or stone you or whatever. They didn't treat Christians well, and they didn't want people to be Christians. Paul was saying, that's what I'm doing. I'm a Jew. I'm a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness of the law, I'm blameless. I keep all the laws. Paul's saying, if there's anybody who's supposed to be the best Jew, you're looking at him. Kind of boastful. And then, I don't know if you remember the story, but on the road to Damascus, he heard that there were a bunch of Christians in Damascus, which is the capital of Syria. It's a three-day donkey ride. He's riding his donkey. He's stricken blind. He says it's like lightning and he can't see. He's knocked off his donkey and he hears the voice of Jesus saying, "Paul, why are you persecuting my people?" He hears the voice of Jesus. He says, "I want you to go to Damascus and I want you to meet someone I'm going to send there. We want you to have a change of heart." So he goes to Damascus. Zephaniah is called and he has to lay his hands on him and these scales fall from his eyes and he can see again. But in that time period, he's given his life to Jesus. He turns his life around. So he says, "I'm the best Jew there is, but now I'm a person of Jesus. And so whatever gains I've had, these I come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish." He had position, he had power, he had money, he had homes. He gave it, it was taken all away from him. Paul was shipwrecked, scourged, stuck with spears, beaten, jailed. There were times when he laid out because he didn't have a place to sleep in a house, slept on the desert, times when he went hungry. He says, "All of that stuff, all the stuff I had is nothing but rubbish. It's garbage, compared to knowing who Jesus is. Not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ." See, his righteousness, his doing all these things as a Jew didn't count up. It was doing the righteousness of God based on faith that Jesus is Lord. And the key to this whole passage is in the second, the last line in that second parish. "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. Somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead." His whole life from that time on, being as great a Hebrew Jewish person as he was, all he wanted to do was know Christ. That's what he lived for. Later on, Paul will write, he says, he knew the love of God. He had lived for God. He knew Jesus. He knew the forgiveness of Jesus. He lived for Jesus. And he knew God was always going to be with him. So he says, "Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's." And he has a little place where he argues, you know, "Lord, I just as soon die and go to heaven." Wally Swenson the other day, he's having some health procedures done. Someone asked him if he was worried. "No, I'm not worried." He says, I know God is with me. God is love. I know he'll take care of me." He says, "Fire up the burners of the crematorium." He says, "Don't let that pilot light go out. I'm ready." When I was in seminary, my first year, I had a professor. I've told some of you who are in my Bible classes. He gave a lecture, and he said a statement in there: "The greatest sin anyone can commit is to worry." He lectures, the last 5 minutes are for questions, so I asked the question, "Professor, you said the greatest sin anyone can commit is to worry. Why do you say that?" And he looked at me and he says, "Well, do you believe in God?" I said, "Well, I guess I do." Being a first-year seminary student, trying to find Jesus, I didn't really know, but I guess I do. "Do you believe God loves you?" "Yes." "Do you believe he'll take care of you?" "Yes." "Do you believe that he will never leave you nor forsake you like the scriptures say?" "Say yes." "Do you trust him with your life?" "Yes." "Do you trust him with your wife?" "Yes." "Do you trust him with your little girl?" "Yes." "You trust him with your health?" "Yes." "You trust him with your money?" "What do you mean?" "Well, that he'll always take care of you, that he'll, no matter what happens, trust him with your money." "Yeah." He says, "Then when you're worrying, it means you're not trusting God." "Oh. When you worry, it means you don't trust God, that he's not going to let him take care of you." "Oh." 3 years later, I have him for another class, my last year of seminary. Gives the lecture. "Any questions?" I said, "Yes, Professor. You said in our first year that To worry is the greatest sin one can commit. Do you still believe that? You know what he said? He said, I said that? I said that. And that told me that he was worrying about something 3 years ago, you know? So, whether it's the greatest sin one can commit or not, I don't know. But, do you trust God? Paul says his whole life was spent, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings. I'll do anything because I want to follow Christ. And that was Paul. That was Paul's life. The question is, do you want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection? Then we have to focus on him and live with him and trust and believe in him. And that's what this season of Lent is about, a time to draw closer to Christ. So say your prayers, sing your hymns, meditate on his word. Sometimes even just be quiet. Just stay silent. Just stay silent and listen. Sometimes we talk too much. And I'm the first one to admit it. So take some time to listen to what God's saying to you too. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us all. Amen. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Please rise. Let's join together in praying the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 3. Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with the words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Returning to the Lord with all our heart, let us pray for the whole people of God, the earth, and all who cry out for healing. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. That you bring those preparing for baptism and the whole church through the wilderness to the water of life. Hear us, O God. That the nations put aside grievances and conflicts from the past, making room for springs of justice and rivers of peace to flow forth. Hear us, O God. That we serve your creation by honoring plants and animals, rivers and seas, wilderness and desert. Hear us, O God. That you pour out your extravagant grace on the poor and all who suffer the loss of purpose, employment, loved ones, or health. We especially pray you'll be with Irene Long this week, Joanne Groth, Ron Hass, those others who we name in our hearts who need your healing touch. Comfort them with your spirit. Hear us, O God, that recognizing your costly grace, you teach us to value that which is of surpassing worth as we behold the new things you are doing in our midst. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Be with each one of us on our Lenten journeys, Heavenly Father. Allow this to be a time of spiritual growth and a time of growing closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you for family and friends. Thank you for this church, this community in which we worship. We pray, O Lord, that your spirit might come alive again this Easter and all who will gather in your name. We give thanks for all who lived and died in your costly grace. Guide us on our Lenten journeys until we reach the resurrection feast. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hear us according to your steadfast love, O God, and in your great compassion, bring us to resurrection and rebirth in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's join in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning said it was 6 days before Jesus went through the Passover that he's gathering in Bethany. Bethany is a community about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. He goes into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. Everyone waves their palms and hail him as king. He sent directions to set up Passover. Passover is, you'll remember, when the angel of death passed over the country of Egypt when the Israelites were slaves. Blood was put on the doorpost, blood of a lamb. The angel of death passed over everyone who was in those houses, and the firstborn of Egypt died. Firstborn cattle, firstborn people, sons. And God said, every year you remember that Passover that I freed you from slavery. Jesus gathered with his family, his disciples, those in the room. Everyone was welcome. He took bread and said, I am the Passover lamb who is slain for you. He broke the bread. I am broken for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Through the forgiveness of your sins, you will be with me in heaven. He says, do this as often as you eat this bread in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink. This is the blood of the lamb. The lamb was a pure lamb, young. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, whose blood was shed for you and for me. And so he makes this sacrament come alive. I am the firstborn whose blood is shed. This is put on the doorposts of your heart. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Today we will use intinction to dip wine or apple juice. You are gluten intolerant. We have those wafers for you. We'll begin with this side and follow with this side. Come, eat and drink. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you into everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. Amen. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The God of all grace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Beautiful Savior 838. Let's sing the first and second verse.
Beautiful Savior, King of creation. Son of God and Son.